Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, I'm Pastor George Pearsons, and welcome to this edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory. It's our election edition. We're preparing our nation for what's coming up in just a few days. On the broadcast, we're continuing our conversation with Brother Copeland, Bishop Butler, and David Barton. We're going to be talking about some issues that are not often talked about on programs like this. You need to be staying with us as we stand together for faith for our nation.
I recently was on a roundup in the Badlands of North Dakota, and we went out and drove the cattle out of the boonies and the brush docks, got them up in Plateau, ran them across about 1,600 in the herd, and so we got them in the pens and started treating them in the pens. And
that's a job of work.
It's a job of work, brother, and I loved it, man. I had a great horse. So we were treating them, and we had cowboys and cowgirls in there, and we had 580 calves that we treated. And you know, there was no trouble telling whether that calf was male or female. It was no trouble at all. That's a law of nature. You can tell.
Law of nature.
And now we've got 82 known identities in America.
My
we've left the self-evident truths, and we're talking ourselves in all sorts of stupidity over here. Nature itself says there's two genders. The Bible four times says, and God made them male and female. And if you get in the platforms and see what they say about other genders, mm-hmm. Bible's real clear. There's only two genders. And there's now over 80 recognized genders? Are you kidding me?
And still going.
And still going, because it's whatever you perceive yourself to be.
We were on a deer hunt one time. And one of the guys on the hunt, he was what a great guy. But he was a bird hunter, but he never hunted deer or anything like that before. And he shot a deer right at dusk. And come to find out, it was a doe. And does were not legal. And so bless his heart, he's kind of disturbed over this and didn't want to come into camp like that, so he just cut her head off and he come on in. And one of the guys said, Don, that ain't the only way you tell. Whether they got any horns or not, that ain't the only way you tell. I thought, well, uh-huh. Now, so there you go.
That's it. You know, and it doesn't matter which gender you were. It used to be that you checked between your legs to know your gender. Now you check between your ears to know your gender. And how strange is that? Mm-hmm. That between my ears is what tells me my gender.
My spiritual father, Oral Roberts, told me this. I drove him. This was long after I had left ORU, but he came down, he was speaking in Dallas, and so he came and spent the night with Gloria and me for a couple of nights, and I drove him back and forth. And this issue of homosexuality was really, really hurting his heart. Man, people are hurting under that, and he's trying to get them healed, and it really bothered him. And in our discussion of it, I think of this really, really often. He said, Kenneth, now listen to me now, God has never created anybody to be something he has already forbidden.
That's right. That's right.
Boy, it's simple.
That's good.
And profound.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And on that basis is where we do everything we can possibly do to get the truth of this to people, because it'll destroy your life. The homicide rate is what? I've forgotten what. 27-28% higher. It all kinds of things that's caused.
A new study just out, I mean just out, matter of weeks, based on National Institute of Health stats, shows that those that are in a homosexual or lesbian lifestyle have much higher mental difficulties, much higher alcoholism, much higher smoking, much higher health difficulties. And of course, it's made everybody mad, but these are the government statistics. This is not a right-wing group that put this together.
Yeah, it's just there.
It's just there. It's another self-evident truth. It's one of these things. You don't deny truth, but you're exactly right. Because God, and this goes back to the abortion thing too. Mm-hmm. If you do it God's way, you will get God's blessing, period. Yeah. That's just the way it works. So if we go from the premise that God says life in the womb is not to be destroyed, life in the, you don't shed innocent blood, and that includes in the womb, that life would be fully developed. For over almost 60 years now, we've been doing what's called embryonic stem cell research. Back in the time of Bill Clinton in the early 90s, he called it fetal tissue research. And at that point, he announced to America how that we, through fetal tissue research, through killing a child in the womb, killing it while it's growing, we take that tissue from that murdered child, and we're going to be able to cure cancer. We'll be able to cure brain injuries, spinal cord injuries. We'll be able to cure all sorts of eye diseases. We'll be able to cure Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. So 60 years into this now, California and other states passed initiatives to put billions into that. 60 years in, we have zero medical cures for anything. Now, for less time than that, we've been working with what's called adult stem cell. And don't confuse the word adult. Adult stem cell is taken when a child is born out of the womb, when it's 2 seconds old, they'll take material from the placenta and from the umbilical cord outside the womb. That's adult stem cells. Well, that's an infant. Yeah, but it's adult stem cells. From that, we now have over 100 medical cures, including all sorts of things for leukemia and cancer and eye cancer and macular degenerative disease. And they're now doing the spinal reconnections where you're getting nerves back into people that are quadriplegics. It's coming back with adults. Well, isn't that amazing? If you don't kill a child, you don't get any. If you kill a child, you get no medical cures out of it. If you don't kill a child, you got over 100 medical cures and they're still adding to it. Science, God's the one who invented science. He made everything. He knows how science works. And if you do science His way, you'll always get His result.
Isn't that wonderful?
And so whether it's homosexuality, God says sex is confined to a man and a woman in a lifelong union. So it doesn't matter if it's homosexuality or adultery or premarital sex, it's all going to have problems with it. And right now, 1 in 4 kids in America who have engaged in premarital sex have a lifelong permanent sexually transmitted disease. And it's not AIDS. We have 3 others that are lifelong permanent sexually. So anytime you get outside of God's boundaries, you're not going to have good consequences. And that's why knowing God's word, reading platforms, creating policy from local, county, state, and federal levels that reflect God's word, you get God's blessings back. That's through health care, that's through economics, that's through family, that's through mental health, that's through everything. And that's why, and I'm glad you said, hey, what does the Bible say about abortion?
Well, here's another scripture. They just text me one from the crew. Ecclesiastes 11:5, as you know not what is the way of the wind, or how the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a pregnant woman. There's another one. So what you're saying is, where the abortion situation is concerned, that's like the kingpin.
That's the kingpin.
That's the number one issue.
It's life.
You get that wrong, you took a wrong turn, and you're on the wrong road. You're headed the wrong way.
And so, the founders of this nation understood that. And that's why it's a self-evident truth. Everybody's got the right to life.
Let me add to that self-evident truth, because the founders said it's the laws of nature and nature's God. The laws of nature is God, so it's in the scriptures. The laws of nature, there's 10 million species in nature. There's not a single one that kills its young in the womb out of 10 million species. There's not, the law of nature is no abortions. And I don't care whether you believe in evolution or creation, I'm a creation guy. You can choose any way you want. There's nothing that kills young while it's still in the womb. Nothing in nature. So that violates the laws of nature and of nature's God. By the way, homosexuality does. 10 million species in nature, there's less than half a dozen that have any instances of homosexuality, and it's never a lifestyle in any species out of 10 million. So we violate the laws of nature and of nature's God, but you're exactly right, Bishop. You're exactly right.
Well, see, it brings us, though, to where we are in America today and its potential future. Now, I'm in total agreement with Brother Copeland about this is God's nation.
Yep.
And the end result of this thing is going to be God's going to do what He says He's going to do. What happens in the interim, okay, between what's happened to up to this point and what happens in the future will depend on, A, voting, because voting, that seed will produce leadership that produces what these platforms are, and the end result, either more and more sin, or you go to righteousness. As a man sows, so he also reap, tells us what? Tells us that the wages of sin is death. Of course, we know in all the ramifications of death. And so, you know, the Lord spoke to me about, I guess it's almost 2 years ago, He said judgment was coming to the nation. Well, as I began to look in the scripture, see what judgment actually is, because a lot of times when people say judgment, they just think of, you know, maybe a foreign power is going to overrun you or, you know, something is going to happen. They think of judgment just in the natural, in a negative light. Judgment is also positive. Judgment is only simply the result of what God said would happen if you did certain things. And so if you sow to righteousness, then you reap prosperity, you reap all of the protections,
you reap first kingdom of God.
Everything, yeah. If you sow the other way and you look in the scripture, God deals with us as individuals, as families, as nations. You see all of that in scripture. And so you get at whatever level those things that you do. So you, we were talking about, you, if you, as an individual, can practice doing the Word, and in the midst of the nation that decide to go opposite to the Word can have all the catastrophic results of not following God, but you personally be blessed, and the other way around. Okay, so this choice that's before you in the next 2 weeks, people watching this, this choice will determine what happens to the nation next 4 years. Well, now she goes right, she goes wrong. Well, she goes more deeper into sin. Well, now she makes the turn starting towards righteousness, even though both candidates, they may not be what we think. Okay, but God's got something He wants done. That's why it is incumbent upon you. You must cast your seed. You must get before God, let Him tell you who you're supposed to support. You must do your homework and find out what it is you're supporting, because what's going to happen in the next several years is going to be dependent upon this election. Every election has consequences. This guy's a historian, and you can go through, I'm sure you could tell me, no question. You can look at history and see where the decisions were made at the top, who was elected, and what followed. Okay. Now God may eventually got them back up to, you know.
But it took longer, and there's a lot of grief that didn't need to happen.
But there were consequences, good or bad, to every election. Thank God for Abraham Lincoln. Okay. He was a consequence of people like you talked about with John Quincy Adams, the abolitionists and the others who decided to do righteously, even though they were the minority, and it brought about Lincoln. It's also, what was it? 500,000 dead?
700,000. 750,000.
Okay. That wound up almost every family in America got touched over it. See, so all of that is involved. You can also look at the times of great prosperity in America. Okay. And you can also see that same strain. So when the Lord said that to me, you know, at first I was like, you know, I was looking at, was Iran going to attack us or the Soviet Union or Russia? Or whatever, but the Lord really straight up my understanding about it, and that it's all comes back again to seed time. I know I'm sounding like I'm redundant with this, but it is the law as long as the earth remains.
Jesus said the whole kingdom of God is as if a man plants a seed in the ground.
Mark 4.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it.
That's it.
His disciples came to him and said, increase our faith. And in 17th chapter of Luke, he said, if you had faith as a grain, as a seed.
Mustard seed, yeah.
You'd say. Mm-hmm. You'd sow it. You'd plant it. Mm-hmm. What if you put it to work, it'll grow. If you sow it like a seed, it'll grow. If you want love, plant love. If you want money, plant money. It all comes back to the law. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Because what you're doing to others is what they're doing to you. What you're sowing is what you're reaping. Mm-hmm. To get the idea that you can sow one thing and get another and just keep doing it because one of these days it's going to work out, it don't work. Mm. That's insanity. And socialism has never worked. Communism has never worked.
Never will.
Look at Venezuela right now. Look at all the rest of the whole earth. It doesn't work.
Can't show one example where it's ever
not
worked.
Not one. And the purest example of all. If it was ever going to work, it would have worked in Russia because it's the only pure communism nation ever. And it only lasted 75 years.
Mm-hmm. Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, because you're talking about the parable of the sower. He said in verse 13, if you don't know this parable, how then will you know any of the rest of
it? You can't figure out the rest
of it. In other words, this one is the base of everything else that he taught. Mm-hmm. Seed, time,
that's
and harvest, sower sows the word.
Praise.
And of the four that planted, three of them Satan picked off. Mm-hmm. Only one of them was good ground.
Yep, 75% of them.
Okay, mm-hmm. but what came of it? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Mm-hmm. Good ground.
So what I hear you saying about the vote is that it has a vital impact not only on the nation, and we'll get into the power of one vote here in a bit, but the power of going into the voting booth is the seed that we sow not only for the nation, but for our own lives, personally.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
How we are going to function, how we will function over the next 4 years.
From you as an individual, all the way to what happens to a nation, and there are nations that affect all of the world for history's sake. This is serious business.
It is.
You mentioned that it happened over the next 4 years. Let me introduce a concept of a president that's a little different than what most people think.
Okay.
And it goes back to the platform. Because this platform lays out legislative agendas, both of these platforms say, here's what we want Congress to do. You need to think of the president as the gatekeeper to legislation. Hmm. Because legislation is not going to get passed without that gatekeeper.
That's right.
So what you need to say is, okay, which of these agendas do I want to see move forward legislatively? Well, here's a person who's going to slam the door on every piece of legislation I want to move forward. I may not like that person, may not agree with them, may not think their values are right, but if they're of the other party, they're going to slam the door on every piece of legislation. Mm. Or I've got one here that may not like the values, may not think the morals are right, but at least we'll let that legislation go through the front door and get out to the people. And so if you look at the president as a gatekeeper for legislation as opposed to what the president... Look, in politics today, the president is like the rooster. He crows every morning so the sun will come up, you know? And the president takes credit for everything. And that's not true. He doesn't do that much. The legislation is what makes a big difference. And that's the gatekeeper on legislation. So also vote on the president thinking, okay, which of these two agendas do I want to see move forward and which one do I want to see stopped? And if you vote the president on that basis as a gatekeeper to let that legislation move through or kill it, that's a simple way to see what the president's really
that's
supposed
very
to
good,
do.
Dude.
I've also served on the platform committees, decades past I have. And, you know, I started out as a precinct delegate. I got 5 votes. Okay, in the political precinct, my opponent got 3, and I got elected.
Numbers is what it's all about.
Yeah.
And, 5 will be 3 every time.
Every time.
Except in Common Core math. It won't do it then, but other than that.
And we ain't gonna talk about Common Core right now. But a delegate wound up, you know, going to the county convention, and then one day I, you know, got selected. Two people out of every state, too, at least back when I was there.
Still is. On the Republican side, not on the Democrat side, on the Republican
side. On the side that I was on at the time. And then wound up on the National Platform Committee. Well, you say, well, what about, how do you get here? You have to be involved one way or the other. Mm-hmm. You have to get involved in it. In the political battles that are out here, if for no other reason than for your children.
That's right.
And your grandchildren.
That's right.
Okay, and it could be as very simple as being a precinct delegate that at least cast a vote in a convention for somebody to one day go and become on the national platform committees, okay? Everyone is responsible for doing something in this republic.
Yep.
Everyone is. Mm-hmm. It is your responsibility, especially one that this nation was founded by people who wanted God to rule.
And now, you're even voting for where your grade school student goes to the bathroom.
Yep.
I mean, come on, man. Yeah. This
Or who could be in the bathroom.
And in public.
Well, that's easy. We're only going to have one bathroom, one locker room. Everybody's going to be in it.
Everybody's going to be
That's the current policy. That's the mandate.
But this is dangerous.
That's right.
This is not just spiritually dangerous. This is dangerous, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's stupid dangerous. Mm-hmm. Come on. But that when you deteriorate far enough into the abyss, you swear you'd never get there, but you let the devil in the back seat, it ain't gonna be long he gonna be driving. Mm-hmm. So, and that's where we are right now. And it's taking a while for people, particularly my age, to even realize that this is even a possibility. But you have to stop and think it all the way through. I got to do something about this.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.